It's Marketplace Tax for Tuesday, August 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. You can complain all you want about the big telecom companies, but you can't argue this point. Building physical infrastructure is not cheap or easy. So 5 years into the promise of a disruptive gigabit internet company called Google Fiber, a lot of people are still waiting for even a second choice of any kind in the internet service provider department. Others have complained about Alphabet's super high-speed internet company digging up their lawns. Some competitors have been kind of iffy on Google stringing up its fiber cables on poles they erected. New reporting in the Wall Street Journal this week suggests that Google Fiber is shifting gears now. Jack Nickus is a reporter for the Journal. Jack, what is Google changing here?
Essentially, the technology, it would still be a central fiber network.
Okay.
But then it would likely use antennas that would be connected to the fiber network, which would then beam a single wireless signal to another antenna mounted onto an apartment building or a home. And that essentially would operate as a fixed cable, but it would be wireless. So you wouldn't have to go in and dig up someone's lawn.
Doing this wirelessly in the way that Google is maybe thinking about, would that be easier?
That's the hope for Google, but the wireless technology comes with its own complications. The technology of WebPass, which is a firm that Google Fiber bought, they use antennas that must have a direct line of sight to the other antenna. And therefore, potentially, if you know a tree is in the way, or if a resident put a house plant in front of the antenna, that could disrupt the signal.
What happens if this whole idea doesn't work out for Google?
In some ways, analysts say that Google already has won by releasing Google Fiber in some cities, because that has prodded some of the existing telecom firms to increase their internet speeds and also lower some prices. So the more that happens, the better it is for Google's core internet business, because indirectly it means more people searching Google, more people clicking on their paid search ads, and that's the real moneymaker. I think they do see an opportunity to become a real internet provider, and that could be a decent business on its own.
Jack Nickus reports on Google for the Wall Street Journal. Jack, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
While we are on the topic of Google, people are talking about what looks to be a new open source operating system the company is assembling. No official word yet, but chunks of code loosely connected with the company suggest to geeks that Fuchsia, as it's been dubbed, might be aimed at simpler computing devices. Think Internet of Things, or maybe it's for a new augmented reality headset. We have posted more about this mysterious operating system at facebook.com/marketplacetech. Judges weigh a lot of factors as part of setting bail, so it's hard to be consistent and to act without unconscious bias. Another problem with bail, sometimes people with no money who are not dangerous can't get out of jail, and people with lots of money who are dangerous can. Put all this together and you've got an argument for an algorithmic solution, like the one that's being used in San Francisco and around 30 jurisdictions around the country. The bail algorithm tool is from a nonprofit called the Arnold Foundation. We called up San Francisco's district attorney, George Gascon, to learn more about the 9 factors the algorithm takes into account and more. George, thanks for chatting.
My pleasure, Ben.
So tell me about some of the factors that are included here.
Yeah, so some of the factors, for instance, are we're talking about a violent offense? Are we talking about a property offense? We look at their prior criminal history. We look at whether they have failed to appear in the past. The algorithm creates basically a numerical value. It provides assistance to the judge to evaluate if the person should be released, and if so, under what conditions. Should they be under supervision, or should they be just freely released, or shouldn't they be released?
But humans are still making the algorithm itself, right? And there's going to be some inherent bias there no matter what, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, look, the reality is that, for instance, one of the pieces or components that the tool uses is prior offenses. And well, we know that often members of minority communities are subjected to a differing attention by the criminal justice system, and some people may have prior criminal history that if they were perhaps more affluent, they would not have for the same conduct.
A white guy and a black woman could commit the same crime, and one of them could go to jail for it, and the other one may not, and the algorithm only sees the first one.
And that is true. And that's why that we still have a human component to it that has to make the ultimate decision, right? So the other side of the coin is that the validation process that this tool has gone through has tried to account for that and it has a high degree of predictability.
How do you think a judge should be using this score?
This would be a tool. I would never suggest that a judge should just blindly follow the tool. You know, people often like to believe that their intuition and their personal experience is far superior to what a tool like this can do. But the reality is that a tool like this is looking at hundreds of thousands of cases and has come up with this value system where us, as a human being, even if we're very experienced, we would never get to be exposed to the amount of work that goes into the development of the tool. But nevertheless, you know, it is a tool.
What happens if your job gets taken over by a robot? Do you have any concern about that?
No, you know, I don't. I think that...
I don't know how old you are or close to retirement, so I, you know...
Yeah, I'm not close to retirement yet. I'd like not to be. Well, I think a robot might be able to do a better job eventually than I in many areas. We have computers that can analyze hundreds of thousands of pieces of information in seconds. There is no way that I could ever do that. And I'm not fearful of that at all. To the contrary, I welcome that process.
George Gascon is the district attorney for the city of San Francisco. George, thanks for talking to me.
Ben, my pleasure. Thank you so much for the time.
There is a much longer version of my conversation with district attorney Gascon at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.